call it again. Okay, today's daf is Samach Dalad. We finished off near the top of Amud Aleph. For Omar Rav Tuvi, I think it's about the sixth or seventh line there. So we're talking about this woman. The woman rebels against her husband. She refuses, either she refuses intimacy or she's refusing work. We had the two different opinions. So we had these opinions of what happens. We had, in the Mishnah, we had the opinion that when she rebels, so what happens is each week of her rebellion, the husband docks money off the ksuba, and until there's nothing left. And then there's another opinion that says even after nothing left, she goes into debit. And then we had the Rabbi Seinu at the end of the Brisa, which we quoted yesterday, who said, no, what they do is they do the 4 weeks. They tell her, you got 4 weeks to sort yourself out. Every week of those 4 weeks on Shabbos, they announce in Shul that this lady is rebelling against her husband.
Isn't it?
And then
the first week, and then
First they tell her, they send her a message telling her that this is going to happen. Then for 4 weeks they announce it.
Correct.
And at the end of the 4 weeks, they send her another message and say, last chance. And if she doesn't unrebel, then she's out and she loses the whole ksuba. Yeah, that's going to be your job, so you get ready for it.
But say I'm a crier.
I told you, and there'll be a kiddush together with it. Okay, so this is the topic that we've been discussing over here. So we're up to Amar Rav Tuvi, seven lines from the top. Amar Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna, Amar Shmuel. Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna says in the name of Shmuel, Kaisvin Igeres Mered Al Arusa. So an Igeres Mered, so we said yesterday they sent her this note, so they actually formally documented it. It was like a court document, which is called an Igeres Mered, a letter of rebellion. So they write this, Al Arusa, even a woman who is Arusa. So Arusa is, she's done the first part of marriage, she hasn't done the second part of marriage. That means even though at the moment they're not living together anyhow, yeah, but if she's rebelling and saying that she's not going to do what she's supposed to do later, then they already write the Igeres Mered now. It doesn't have to apply only when they're already in the Nisun. The ain't case for Igeres Mered, al shomeres yavim. But if it's a brother-in-law, so the husband died, and she's supposed to marry now the brother-in-law and do Yibum, because she didn't have any children, and she says nothing doing and she rebels. Yeah, she wants to. And remember, we said rebelling means when she does it intentionally to give him pain, not because she says, I can't stand him, yeah? Oh, we had him with the Machlokes anyway, but at least, so she's rebelling, yeah? So, but if it's the brother-in-law, then that's not the same thing, and she doesn't get this whole document of rebellion. So that's what Shmuel says. The problem is, Meisave. Now I'm going to ask Akasha on Shmuel. We learned in the Brisa yesterday, Achasli, Arusa, Nasua, that it applies equally, it's the same thing to me, whether she's Arusa, only halfway through marriage, or Nasua, she's fully married, Afilu Nida, even if she's a Nida, and therefore there's no intimacy anyway, Afilu Chayla, even if she's sick, Afilu Shemeres Yavim, and even if she is now waiting for Yibum, that means that she's rebelling against whom? The brother-in-law. And there it says that that's the same deal, that it applies the whole, all these laws of rebellion apply there. So,
rebelling against the brother-in-law, what does he have to do with the brother-in-law?
Because the husband died.
Oh, the husband died, yes.
And they're supposed to have Yibum now. And she looks him in the eye and says, no, I'm not giving you anything. You, yeah. So then she's rebelling. So Shmuel just said that it doesn't apply with the brother-in-law, only applies with the husband. And the Brisa says, though, that it does apply with the brother-in-law. So we have a question on Shmuel. Answers the Gemara, lo kasha. No, it depends on who, what you're talking about. With this Shemeris Yavim, what's going on over here? Who is the rebeller in the case of Yibum? Yeah? Kan Shetovahu. When he claims there's a difference between whether he wants to do Yibum and she rebels, or the Kan Shetovahi. Or she wants to do Yibum, and he rebels. Because remember, we said in the Mishnah that there's such a thing as a husband rebelling also, if he's denying her her rights. How do I see a difference? The Omar of Tachlifi Baravimi Omar Shmuel, our same Shmuel whose opinion we're trying to explain, yeah? He says, Tovahu Niskokinloi. If he claims, what do you mean he claims? He's saying, let's do Yibum, then we will listen to him. And if she rebels and says, oh, you know, get lost, then we listen to him and we write this Igeres marriage. And therefore, what's going to happen? Each week that she's rebelling, she's going to lose money from the Ksuba, according to different opinions. But Tava, if she says to him, let's go, and he says, I'm denying you your rights, ain't his cock in law, then we don't do it. We're going to see in a minute why is it so? Why should there be a difference by the Shabbat? And why is it that if she wants to and he doesn't want to, he can get away with anything? But if he wants to and she doesn't want to, then she gets this rebellion thing.
When she rebels and gets, loses money from the Ksuba,
yeah,
and she comes good, does she get the money restored or once lost off?
It's like when people go on strike and they don't get paid, and then they make part of the conditions when they come back to work that they're going to get back paid for the thing. It appears that technically she wouldn't, but he might make it a sweetener to convince her to unrebel. You know, we'll just forget it happened and we'll give you back your money, like they do with the strikes. So it's the same thing. Technically, when people go on strike, technically they don't get paid, right? But they usually throw it into the deal so that everyone's happy at the end. Okay, so that's Shmuel. Says the Gemara, "B'mayu kim to lahadu Shmuel." So that statement of Shmuel, the one that said that it does apply. I'm sorry, the one that you said it does not apply is when she wants to do Yibum and he rebels against her. B'shatova he, when she makes the claim, is that instead of saying that the lashon is, what did he say, Shmuel? Al arusa, kaisvin igeris merit al arusa. You write a document of rebellion on an arusa. So that implies, from those wording, al arusa, on an arusa, that she's the one who's rebelling. Yeah. So what are you telling me? We're talking about where she wants to, and he's the one who rebels. Yeah. It's but Shmuel said, instead of saying kaisvin igeris merit al arusa, that we write this document sort of against the woman. It should say we write it for the woman, on her, it's on her behalf against the husband, but not the Shemeres Yavim. So the Gemara answers, ha, lo kasha, that's no problem. We have spell check, and we can tani la arusa. We'll change it. The Brisa, edit the Brisa. Yeah, go into your Microsoft Word, and you'll change it. Easily fixed. That's not a problem. Okay. So now the Gemara asks, what's been bothering us since we heard this? Why should a taka be different between when she rebels, then he's entitled to, she gets she gets whacked with the court order, yeah? Well, when he rebels, he gets away with it. And so why is it so? So the Gemara explains as follows. Maishna, what is the difference? A shemeres yovem deloy. Why is it that when she wants to have Yibum and he rebels and says, I'm denying you contact with me, where we don't consider him rebelling, the Amrin Allah, because we say to the woman, Zil, go away, Lemafkarit, you're not commanded on Pruravu. You're not commanded to have children. It's not a mitzvah for a woman to have children. And therefore, if he doesn't want to, you can't claim against him because you're not missing out on your mitzvah. So therefore, bad luck. So if that's the reason why we're saying that by the Shemeres Yovim, that when she wants to, we tell her bad luck because she hasn't got the mitzvah. When he wants to, then we say she's rebelling because he has a mitzvah and she's stopping him from doing the mitzvah. If that's the case, is Arusa Nami. Why is that different from the other woman, the Arusa? Even if she's married to her husband, is also, she still doesn't have the mitzvah Pruravu. So if he denies her intimacy, then why can't we tell her, bad luck. You don't need to have it because you don't need to have children. Name Allah, why don't we say to her, Zil, go away, Lemufkarat, you aren't commanded on this mitzvah. So the Gemara says, that's true. She doesn't have a mitzvah She doesn't have a mitzvah of pruvu, but that doesn't mean that she doesn't have a thing. We'll call it a thing. Or what did you want to say? What's an inyan? Yeah? She doesn't have a mitzvah, she has an inyan. She wants to have kids anyway, even if with a mitzvah or not mitzvah, she wants to have kids. Why? She comes with a claim, not a mitzvah, just stam. The Omer, she says, ba'ina chutzra liyada. I need a stick for my hand to hold, to lean on, which means, as Rashi says, when I'm an old lady, I need kids to take care of me. So I'll need a stick to lean on. Yeah, so I want to have kids, so when I get old, I have someone there for me. Umara lekvura, and a shovel to bury me with. Because who's going to bury me if I don't have any kids? No one's going to care. Yeah, I'm going to be lying in the street. Yeah, Nebuch. So I think this might be a slight exaggeration, but what she's saying is, I want to have kids. I want an opportunity to have children.
As much as what he does.
If he has a mitzvah, that's his bad luck. But I want to have children also. Yeah? So therefore, if he says he refuses her rights and he leaves her stranded, so we say he's rebelling against her. Yeah? So the Gemara says, but one second, if that's the case by a married woman, is Hachanami, why don't we say the same thing? What about when she is waiting for Yibum? So her husband died, and she's now in this limbo state, waiting to do with the brother-in-law Yibum. And he's rebelling and says, no, I'm not letting you. Is again, Baba Mahmas Taina, why doesn't she have the same Taina? Yeah, so that distinction doesn't seem to follow. Ella says, the Gemara, okay, let's try again. We will say that the distinction is Idi v'Idi Shetovahu. Both cases about whether the answer we gave before, that we distinguish between her and him, cancel that. Because she will say she has every right also to demand that she wants to have children. He has a mitzvah, she just wants it, doesn't make a difference. And therefore are equally guilty if they rebel against each other. If that's the case, then why does we have Shmuel says that there's no rebellion applicable by Shemeres Yovim, and the Brisa says that there is, says the Gemara, okay, Idi v'Idi Shetovahu. Both cases we're talking about where the husband wants to and she rebels. So what is the answer to the contradiction? V'loi kasha. Kan lachlo, it's a kan liyavim. It depends what he wants. Yeah? If he says that he wants chalitza, and she says no, yeah, then we're not gonna listen. Then we listen to him. Then we do listen to him. And there, of course, he's reliant on her because she's got to come to Beis Din and take off her shoe and do chalitza. Yeah, so this is almost the opposite of a get. Yeah, the get, we have the problems when a husband refuses to give a get, they have to whack him on the head till he does it. Yeah, but by chalitza, she's got to come and do the action. So, you know, she can hold him to ransom, so to speak, and stop him. And so he claims chalitza and she rebels. So then we call her a rebel and we write a rebellion document. But if he wants to do yibum, then she can say, "Nah, I should marry you. Nah, you're just." You're just a dirty old man, and I'm not interested in you. Yeah? How do I know there's that distinction? I didn't just make this up, you know? The Amar of Pada Samar Rabbi Yochanan, Tava Lachlo, it's if he claims the woman, come to Beis Din with me, and we have to do Chalitza, and she says, no, I refuse, Niskokin Loi, then we will stick up for him, and we'll say that she has to write a document of rebellion over here. Tava Liyabim, but if he says he wants to marry her and do Yibum, any scoculite, then we don't write for him a rebellion note. Rashi says because these days the brother-in-law, when he's after her, he's not doing it l'shem mitzvah. If you remember in Yevamos, we learned that originally we said that the mitzvah of Yibum takes precedence over chalitza. Yeah, the Torah wants Yibum to happen. The chalitza is sort of a last resort. You can get out of it. But nowadays, then the brother-in-laws were not doing it for the Shem Mitzvah. They were just had their eye on the sister-in-law, and it was all very unedifying type of not necessarily Shem Shemayim. So they said, you know what? Better that they do Chalitza. Don't let people get any ideas. Yeah, is therefore. So what are we saying over here? So that's why if he wants to do chalitza, we'll listen to him. If he wants to do yibum, we think he's just after her. So we don't have so much sympathy for him. Yeah. So that is the difference between the two cases about when are we going to have a rebellion with chalitza with a yavim and when are we not. But the question is still the same question. The distinction between the arusa and the Shaveris Yavim that Shmuel made, that distinction is still problematical. Why should it be different if he's married to her or if it's Shaveris Yavim? Either way, he should both cases it's rebellion or both cases it's not rebellion. Says the Gemara asking, Maishna, what's the difference, the Yavim? When the brother-in-law says, come and do Yibum, and she says, no, we don't call that rebellion. Why not? Deloy, we don't. De Amrinale, we say to the guy, Zil Nosivitza Chrisa, go marry someone else. And a husband anyway, even if she doesn't give him Chalitza, he's still allowed to marry somebody else. Because it's not like when a woman doesn't get a get, she's an Aguna, because she can't remarry if she's still married to the first guy. When he doesn't have Chalitza, he can marry someone else. He's not tied down anyhow. Yeah, she doesn't want to do Chalitza? Good. It's her own problem, because she can't marry someone else, but he can. So we tell him, there's no rebellion over here because you can still go and do whatever you want. So just go. Yeah? So that's why we say that when he wants to do Yibum and she says get lost, we say, what's your problem? Go and marry somebody else. Is Lachlitz Nami. Even if she doesn't do Chalitza, is also Neymole Zil Nosivitza Chrisa. He can also go and marry somebody else. So why should we distinguish between that if he wants to do Chalitza, we listen to him and write a rebellion thing. Why don't we just tell him, what's your problem? She doesn't want to do it. Leave her. You'll go and just go and marry someone else without her. Ella, because he will say, the Omar, Kevin da Agida bi, since we didn't do Chalitza, yeah, so everybody knows that there's a connection for Yibam over here, like a Yavi le'achrisa. So no other woman is going to want to marry me, because they know that I'm still attached to this woman, and perhaps I'll do Yibam one day, and she's going to end up with a co-wife that she doesn't like. Yeah, so no one's going to marry a guy who is attached, even though halachically she could, no one's going to want to marry a guy who's got the state of limbo going with some other woman. Yeah, so therefore, he says, they won't give me another woman, and therefore we have sympathy for him, and we say, okay, we're going to call it rebellion. Ah, hachanami. Yeah, so that's the reason why he says that. That's the reason why we listen to him when he wants to do chalitza. So chanami, why don't we say the same thing about Yibum? He wants to do Yibum and she says, get lost. Then we tell him, you know what, go marry someone else. Why can't he say the same thing? Came with that Gidabi. Since we're attached, we have this Zika going on. Like Kayavali Akhrisi, another woman isn't going to want to marry me. Ella, said the Gemara, says, you're right. Let's try all over again. This isn't working out so well. So we'll try all over again. Again, going back to our original question, we had Shmuel who said it doesn't apply to a Shomeris Yavim, and the Braisa said it does. So the Gemara answers a third attempt. Both Shmuel and the Braisa are talking about where he said that he wants to do Yibum and she rebels. So how come Shmuel says it doesn't apply and the Braisa said it did? The Braisa is going according to the original deal. In the original deal, when they were doing it, L'Shem Shamayim, yeah, and we wanted people to do Yibum, is if she rebelled and said refused, so we write her a rebellion document. But later on, when the Chachamim said that we don't want them to do Yibum anyway, so he wants to do Yibum and she rebels, we say, well, we don't want you to do it anyhow, so we're not going to write a rebellion document, because she's just really sticking up for what we want anyhow. How do I know this whole thing? That now we learned in the Mishnah in Yevamos, not so long ago. Mitzvah Yibum kodem es lemitzvah chalitza. The mitzvah of Yibum, it has precedence over the mitzvah of chalitza. They wanted, originally, me'ikar adin, it's better, it's a bigger mitzvah to do Yibum than chalitza. Barishayna, when was that? In the early days, miskavdin l'shul mitzvah, where people were doing it for the sake of the mitzvah. Achshav she'ein miskavdin l'shul mitzvah. These days, that the men have become more rowdy, and they're not thinking about the mitzvah too much, they're just thinking about chasing the woman. There's Amru, so the rabbi said, mitzvah chalitza kedemus mitzvah yibum. We'd prefer that people do chalitza, so that things should be all more holy. And therefore, in that case, if she refuses to have Yibum, we're not going to call her a rebel, and we're not going to write this Igeris rebel on her. Okay. So then the Mishnah said, and the two dots, the Mishnah said, Ad Masai Hu Poiches. So we said, what are we subtracting? So we subtracted 7 dinners a week, according to the first guy, and Rabbi Yehuda says, 7 trafikim. Trafikin, whatever how you say it. So the Gemara says, "My trafikin, what is this trafikin that he made up?" It's Amar Rav Sheshes. Oh, it's an astira. Oh, now I know. So the Gemara says, "Okay, kama astira. I'll bite. What's that? what's a trafik? Trafik's an astira. What's an astira? An astira is palga de zuza. It's half a zuz. So 7 of them is
3.5
zuzas." Tandinami Hachi, so now we have a brisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shloisha Trafikim. These three trafics. Oh, a minute. So we had, that's the last part. Yeah, the woman is 7, and the man rebels against the woman, then it's 3 trafics. So Rabbi Yehuda says when he rebels, it's 3 trafics. Shehein Teisha Mo'in, which is 9 Mo'oz. Now, let's work this out. 3 trafics, we said, is... So a trafic, we said, was half a zuz, which is 6 ma'a. A zuz is 6 ma'as. Got it? So half a zuz is 3 ma'as. So that means a trafic is 3 ma'as. So 3 trafics is 9 ma'as. Got it? 3 trafics is 9 ma'oz. Because each trafic is 1, is 3. Each trafic is 3 ma'oz. So what's the cheshbon of 9 ma'oz a week? Ma'ov a chetil a yom. 1.5 ma'oz a day. Not counting Shabbos. Why don't we count Shabbos? The Gemara's going to ask in a second. Yeah? So at this point we're saying 9 ma'oz because it's 1.5 ma'oz a day. So what happens? If you look at when he rebels, so he pays
When she rebels, he gets a bit for Shabbos as well. Because remember, when he rebelled, it was 7 trafics, which is like 1 per day. Yeah, that means he's getting for Shabbos also. So how come when she rebels, she has to pay... For the Shabbos counts as a day of rebellion and she has to pay for it. How come when he rebels, Shabbos doesn't count as a day of rebellion and he's not paying for it? Yeah, Maishna Ihu. For him, Yavinale the Shabbos. We give him money for Shabbos too, a trafik. Maishna I the lo Yavinale. How come for her we don't give her for a week that we only give her for 6 days a week? So we said, the lo Yavinale the Shabbos. As the Gemara, Ihi the Mifchis Kapachis. When it's her, so what are you doing? She rebels, you're going to subtract it from the ksuba. So there's 200 zuz in the ksuba, and each week you're subtracting from the cheshbin. Le-mechzik is schar Shabbos. If you will subtract 7, it doesn't look like he's earning money on Shabbos. Schar Shabbos means that you can't work on Shabbos, not just the 39 malachas, but you can't do paid work. Yeah, you work and someone pays you, that's schar Shabbos. So when it's just deducting from the ksuba, that doesn't look like he's earning money on Shabbos, because you're just reducing a cheshbon. But ihi de sufika moisa, when it's her case, when he rebels, what are we doing? We're adding on to the ksuba. So it looks like she's earning money. Yeah? Because till now she's had less, and now she's getting more. So it looks like, is mechse turning the page? Kischar Shabbos. So it looks like she's earning money on Shabbos. So we said, let's not do that, because it looks like she's working on Shabbos and making money on Shabbos. Why is it now? Another question. In the Mishnah, don't forget, we said 7 trafics when she rebels against him, but it's only 3 trafics when he rebels against her. Says Rav Chia to Bar Yosef to Shmuel, why? What's the difference? Why should he get off paying less? What? Why does she have to pay more and he pays less? Go and see what happens in the Zoyna house. Who pays who? Mi socher es mi. Who pays and who gets? In other words, Who wants it more? He does. The man is more lustful after the woman generally, yeah. And therefore, when she rebels, he suffers more. Then when he rebels against her, she doesn't suffer as much as when she rebels against him, and therefore the penalty is bigger when she rebels. Davar acher, another explanation, ze yitzri mibachutz, v'ze yitzri mibifnim. That his yetzer hara is visible on the outside, and hers is on the inside. I'm not going to explain that. You can work it out yourselves. Okay, next.
You didn't have to.
Good. Says the Mishnah next. We'll move on. A person is supplying food to his wife through a supplier. Yeah, so she's not sitting in his kitchen eating breakfast with him. Yeah. He says, sir, yes, I'm obligated to give you food, but I don't want to eat with you. So you sit in your room over there, and I'll send you supplies every day, delivery from Glicks, yeah? So
good relationship.
Yeah, great relationship. It's like the Gary, you know, she sits in the other room and he sends the food in. Yeah. They put their wives in the other room. Yeah. Well, some of them do. I don't know if all of them do, but yeah, no, you didn't know that?
General thing.
Ask Kilman, I'll explain to you. Hey? I don't know. Sometimes. Anyway, so this guy decides his wife's going to eat in a different room, or even a different house, possibly.
Yeah. No arguments that way.
Even house, no arguments. Maybe that's why. So he is supplying food. Yeah. So how much food does he have to supply? This is what the Mishnah is going to tell you. What's the list? The shopping list. Is lo yivcheis la, he cannot give her less, mishnei kabin chitin, two calves of wheat. This is per week, yeah? What's the weekly groceries? Two calves of wheat, oimei arba kabin se'orim, or four calves of barley. And Omar Rabbi Yossi says, lo pasak lo se'orim, there's no deal about barley. El Rabbi Shmuel, the only person who brought this barley thing in here was Rabbi Shmuel. Generally, women don't eat barley. Barley is considered Michael Behema. That's why Saita, they give her mincha, her korban mincha is barley because it's a Maisa Behema, because she acted like an animal, so she gets a Michael Behema for her korban. Yeah, that is the barley. People are not supposed to eat barley.
Barley is put into
chalt. Depends how you make the chalt. Some chalt has barley, some doesn't. Anyhow. Rabbi Yossi says the whole idea of giving her barley is only according to Rabbi Shmuel. El Rabbi Shmuel, Shahayu Samucha Edom, because he was a half Roman. You know, he was with the Romans, so he got their Roman custom of having barley. Yeah. V'noisin lechatzir kav kitnis, and she gets one kav of kitnis, half a kav of kitnis, not on Pesach, of course, because we don't need kitnis unless she's a smarty. And she does. Half a cup of kidneys, chatzi loig shemen, half a loig of oil, the kav gregris, one cup of dried figs, a mona de vela, or one mona of pressed. Is where they take the figs and they smush it into a nice, clumpy, circle-y thing, a fig cake. How's he translated? A round cake, yeah. Get a gulay dvela, yeah. It's the famous thing.
They were sold by weight rather than by volume.
Then some settling of contents may have occurred during shipping. Okay, the main loy. If he hasn't actually got dates, then Pesach lo mosan peiris in mokem acher. Then he gives us some other peiris from somewhere else. Okay, so that is the food that he has to supply. The noisin lamita, he has to give her a bed to sleep on. And Muppets. Muppets is like a soft mattress or to lie on, I guess. Umachzeles is a harder mat. The Nisan Lakipa La Rosha, and he gives her a tichel to wear. One tichel per year, it says. Wow. The Chagur. They don't? Well, maybe she keeps it from previous years. The Chagur Lumasneha, and a belt to wear around her waist.
A leather apron that she wears over her clothing when she works.
And min olim, and shoes min moyed lemoyed every yontif of the shalosh regalim. So she has to, he has to provide new shoes.
Sounds like a modern marriage. You live in a different country.
The kelim shachamishim zuz mishana l'shana, and clothes worth $50. It's more than $50. I say bucks, sort of. She's so 50 zuz each year. When he gets her the new clothes, he shouldn't get her the new clothes in the summer and then say that when they wear out a bit, then you wear them in the winter. Because it's the wrong way around. In the summer, you don't want new clothes because new clothes are sort of itchy and hot and it's uncomfortable. And then when it wears in and becomes comfortable, yeah, that's what you want. And in the winter, it's cold. You don't want worn out clothes in the winter because it'll be cold. You want it nice and fresh. He should give her brand new clothes in the winter when it's cold and she needs full clothes. By the time it gets to the summer, it gets a bit worn out, but it's warmer. She doesn't need thick clothes, so there she uses the worn out clothes in the summer. And she can keep it. Yeah, so the old clothes, it doesn't mean that at the end of the year when he gets her new ones, she has to give back the old ones. She can keep the old ones as well. Nice in Lama Kesset Latarka, he also gives her one ma'a for pocket money, just for to do whatever she wants with. Yeah, to buy some nash or something, yeah, each week. And he has to let her eat with him at least once a week, Friday night. Yeah, he can tell her to go and eat somewhere else the whole week, but Friday night he has to eat with her. This is what we already learned before. If he doesn't give her the pocket money, letzarcha for her own needs, ma'isya deha shala, then he doesn't get entitled to her wages. And we remember we learned the machlokes whether it's the wages or the moiser. We had two opinions whether it was the actual wages that are corresponding to the pocket money or it's the additional above the five sloyim of wool which she makes or whatever, the additional one that goes like masya deha. Umahi oisa, what is the standard?
Didn't you miss that?
No, he gives her a ma of pakamani and they eat together every Friday night. Okay. Didn't I say that? Yeah. And if he doesn't give her the pocket money, then she keeps her wages, or according to other opinion, she keeps her overtime wages. Umahi oisa, what is the normal amount of work that a woman has to do? Mishkal chamesh shloim shesi biyehuda, she has to weave the weight of five sellers of wool of the woof, the one that's harder to do is the shesi, warp. Shehein eser sloim begolil, which is 10, because in Golil the wool was thinner, so you have to have 10 sloim of it in Golil, because a different sort of wool. Mishkal eser sloim a rev Yehuda, that's the opposite of what the other shesi was, the weft, yeah? Weft is the other sort of wolf. When they do weaving, it goes in and out. So the Erev is easier. So if she wants to do Erev, she has to do more. She has to do double. She has Esim Sloim Megolim, which is 20 Sloim Megolim. V'im Haisa Menika, if she's busy nursing her son, Pechsim Lomim Ma'asei Yodeha, then she doesn't have to do as much. Masifin Lo Almazayne Seha, and you give her extra food because she needs more food for the kid. All of these minimums that we're giving you are for the poorest person. This is the minimum. But if he's rich and honorable, then he has to give her to fit in with his honor, that she should be kept in the manner that he's able to keep her in. Okay, that was the Mishnah. Mani Masnissin, who is this Mishnah according to? Says the Gemara, these amounts that the Mishnah gives of how much food she needs to eat for a week is Lai Rabbi Yechon ben Brek and Lai Rabbi Shimon. It doesn't go according to either of these two. This now we learned in a Mishnah. The Kama Shi'urei in Erevin. You remember Erevin? Way back in Erevin. How much is the shear of an Erev? When you put an Erev out there, an Erev Tchumin, and you want to go out And be Kaveya, well, within 2,000, you want to be Kaveya, your Shabbos, out there, so you could walk to, up to 2,000 Amos from there to the other side. That was an Erev Tchumen. So what do you have to do? You have to leave your food out there, and that makes it as if you, that was your main place for Shabbos. How much food do you have to leave out there to make a kosher Eruv? The Kama Shi'urai said the Mishnah in Erevin, Mazon Shtei Sudais L'chol Echa V'yechor. It has, for each person who wants to make use of this Eruv, you need to give 2 meals worth. Now, how much is, what sort of meal? There's different meals.
If it's Shabbos morning, chocolate biscuits,
oh,
and coffee.
It's Mazon L'chol V'lo L'Shabbos, Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir says it's a weekday meal, not a Shabbos meal. Because he wants to be lenient, because he assumes that don't forget, we're talking about bread, yeah? So Rav Meir says that we eat less bread during the week than on Shabbos, because Shabbos you have more courses, so you eat more challah with each course, you eat more. So he's miskaven to make it lenient, and he says, therefore you go according to a weekday meal, not according to a Shabbos meal. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the Shabbos v'lo l'chol, Rabbi Yehuda says we go according to the Shabbos meal, not according to the weekday meal. But Zev is a miskabne lahakal. They both want to be lenient. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you eat less bread on Shabbos. You know why? Because you've got the cholent. So therefore, you don't need so much bread. You've got cholent, you've got salads, you've got kugel, you've got chocolate biscuits, you've got the whole Shabbos meal, so you actually end up eating less bread. Well, there you go. So you're, and on Shabbos you don't. So you're like Rabbi Yehuda. You eat less bread. You eat less bread on Shabbos. So that's the 2 meals. Now, how much?
It never works that way.
Sorry?
It never works that way.
What doesn't?
That you eat less bread on Shabbos because you've got the other meals. You eat.
Because you have other food.
And you have more food.
Depends whether you're according to Rav Meir or who you're paschal. Like, if you want to be machmir, then you have to eat more bread and more food. Some people are very machmir on eating on Shabbos, and they make sure they eat every possible thing that could be. Rabbi Yechinam and Breika Omer Kikar. Now, how much is a meal? Okay, so how much is it? So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir don't discuss the actual how much is it. They just say Shabbos dik or weekadik. Yeah? Vachadik. But how about how much is actually? So that comes Rabbi Yechinam and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yechinam says Kikar halakuach bepundyan. It's a loaf of bread that would cost you one pundyan. Well, how do you know how much that is? May arba soin the seller. When the price is that 4 saw costs a seller, yeah, then you have to supply a pundian's worth of bread. Now, Rashi goes into the whole thing. I'll try to explain it outside to make it a bit simpler. A seller is 48 pundians. Yeah.
We don't have to know the quantity. In the olden days, then you had the
no, but you want to work out, but you have to not understand this Gemara, you have to understand a little bit what's going on over here. Right? So he says 48 pundians is a seller. Yeah? So that means you're getting 4 sa'a for 48 pundians. Yeah? So that means there's 12 pundians costs a sa'a. Right? So 4 sa'a, now 4 sa'a is 24 kabin. So that's 48 half kabins. Yeah? So it turns out, you got it? Following? 48 half kabs is 24 kabs, right? So therefore, if you have, so 4 sa'a, which we talked about, is 48 half kabs. And he's buying one for a pundyan. Right, so it's half a kav for a pundyan. So therefore, Rabbi Yechinan says half a kav. Sorry, the amount that you buy with a pundyan, he means half a kav. Okay, so that's all a nice way of saying that how much is 2 meals? Says Rabbi Yechinan, half a kav. Okay, remember that one. That's Rabbi Yechinan, half a kav. Rabbi Shimon Omer, shtei yodos lekikar. It's 2/3 of a loaf of bread. Mishalish kikaris lekav. When 3 loaves is a kav, yeah, so 1 loaf is 1/3 of a kav, and 2/3 of a loaf is, lost me? Two-thirds of a kav is 2/3 of a loaf is 2/9 of a kav, right? Okay, so therefore, if you want to get two meals,
two-thirds of a loaf.
And a loaf is one-third of a kav, right? So it's two-ninths of a kav. Are we right? We got it? So according to Rabbi Yechelman Breker, one meal is a quarter of a kav. And according to... according to Shimon, one meal is a third of a kav. Right, according to we got that. According to Rab Shimon, it's one third of a kav. According to Rab Yechon, it's one quarter of a kav. Chetzia lebayis hamenuga, half a loaf is. So that's going to for the shiur for going in when someone goes into a house that has taras, he has to stay in there long enough to eat what we call a kedei achilas pras. The word pras means a half. What's a half? A half a loaf. So that's the chetzia lebayis hamenuga, half a loaf of one of those loaves where there's three loaves in a kav, is the shiur for how long you have to stay in the house. It's also the shiur, let's make it a nice topical one, for you have to eat your kezias of matzah on Pesach within also kedei achilas pras. The chatzi chetzia, and a half of that, is livstol asagvio. That's the shiur that a person eats tomei food. It makes him tomei if he eats half a pras. Yeah, he becomes tomei. And chatzi chatzi chetzia, half of a half of a half, the kabel tumasoichlin, which is the size of one egg. Rashi has a whole cheshbon how many eggs it is. We know that tumasoichlin has to be the size of an egg, a kibetza. Okay? So that is all the Mishnah. Yeah, so we're not worried too much about the bais hamenuga and the tomei and the egg, but let's go back to the shiur of the two meals, yeah, because we want to know about meals over here, because he has to supply your meals. So let's remember it good. According to Rabbi Shimon, a meal is a third of a loaf, which is, no, what did we say? Yeah, one meal is a third of a loaf, which is 1/9 of a kav. Yeah? And according to Rabbi Yochanan, a meal is a quarter of a kav. And according to Rabbi Shimon, it was a third of a kav. Right? That's what we came up with, a quarter and a third. Okay, so what did our Mishnah say? That he's got to give her two calves a week. So how many meals do you get from two calves? This is what this is all leading to. How many meals are you going to get from two calves? Is money, who's it according to? So he says that a meal is a quarter of a calf. So how many meals do you get from two calves? Eight. It's Tamne Havyun, it's eight meals. So 1 minute. How can it be eight meals for a week? That doesn't work. You got to have two meals a day. So you don't get eight meals, so it's not enough. Yeah? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, it should need to be more than two calves, because the two calves isn't going to supply you with her meals for the whole week. Rabbi Shimon says all the way around. Rabbi Shimon says it's only, what did Rabbi Shimon say? A third. According to Rabbi Shimon, it was a ninth, right? Because a third of a calf was the two meals. Yeah? So if he gives her, so a third of a calf is two meals. So if he gives her two calves, it's six times, where am I? A third of a meal, a third of a calf was two meals. So a ninth of a calf is one meal. If he gives her two calves, it's 18 times a ninth is two. Right? 18 times 1/9 is 2. Yeah? So it's 18 meals. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's too much. It's 18 meals. Tamnis Rehavyun. According to Rabbi Yechon Breker, it's too little. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's too much. So therefore, who's the one who says, give her two calves? Because you don't need 18 meals in a week. It's only 7 days. And it says the Gemara Lo'elam Yechon Breker. It is according to Rabbi Yechon Breker. Uchadu Amar Rav Chizdat Tzemehen Shlish Lechenveni. No, because the shopkeeper, when he said his half a cup, when Rabbi Yechon was working out the price, and he said a kikar halakoch papundian, we were talking about where the price of a loaf of bread is a pundian. That's talking about retail price, where the chenveni, where the shopkeeper has his markup. Yeah, and how much is that? A third. So if you took out the third markup, yeah, then instead of it being only 8 meals, you'd end up with, without the markup, you get more per money, per punjun. Yeah, so you end up with 12 because you add on a third. So hachanami, here also, I see tilsa. So add on an extra third of the grain. Shadi alayuth and added on to what he said is akati. So the Gemara asks akati tarta sri avin. So you take, it would have been 8 according to the cheshbon of a quarter of a calf per meal. Yeah? So you're saying what? That it's more because the price is cheaper. So she gets more for that amount of money. Okay, but you still end up with only 12 meals. Yeah? So therefore, 12 meals is not enough for 7 days. It has to be 14. So the Gemara says, Echela simoi. Lele Shabbos, because she eats with him on Friday night, so he doesn't need to send her a meal for Friday night. Yeah? So the Gemara says, 1 minute. When we said Echela Simay on Friday night, does that mean eating a meal? Hanich Eleman Domer Achila Mamish. That's if you say that eating the meal on Friday night means eating the meal. Eleman Domer Achila means Tashmish, but if you say that eating doesn't mean eating, eating means the other kind of eating. Like they call it horizontal refreshments. Yeah? Is then she still needs food. Yeah, so it needs, so she's still short 2 meals. So how does this work? And even if she eats with him on Friday night, so that covers Friday night. So how much is it? He still only has 13. This is still short 1 meal. Yeah, according to this, Ella says the Gemara kida amar of Chizda, not that the chenveni takes on a third. The shopkeeper, when it's retail, the markup is 50%, not a third. And therefore, you have to add on 50% to get the actual wholesale cost price. Yeah, and therefore, instead of eight meals, if you add on again, you're going to get what? You're going to end up with 16, aren't you? So you end up with 16, which we're going to ask about in a minute. But at least we're not shortchanging her yet. So the Gemara says, before we get to that, 1 minute, Rav Chisda said it was a third, and now Rav Chisda said it's a half. It's first of all, Kasha, Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda. First of all, let's understand Rav Chisda. How come he says both a third and a half? Loi Kasha. How about Asvid the Yahi Vitzivi? It depends whether you get free wood. If you get free wood with your wheat, so you can cook, the food. How about Asvid Loi Yahi Vitzivi? If they don't give you free wood, then the charge is less. Okay, so let's get past that. So if you're adding on 50% to the 8 meals, the shitsri havin, 50% means 100%, 50 of the total, 100, that means half of what he gives is the markup, that means the overall total is how much? 16 meals. Is vita too much? So it's because it's supposed to be 14, says the Gemara. Keman ki Rav Chitka. We have a lovely opinion of Rav Chitka, the Omar, arba sudas chayav ala mechal b'shabbos. We have enough trouble with Shalosh Sudas. He wants to have 4 meals on Shabbos. So 4 meals on Shabbos and 2 meals on each weekday is 16. So the Gemara is asking, is it only according to Rav Chitka, who's an opinion, an individual that we don't really follow? So the Gemara says, Afilu Tema Rabbanon, even according to the Chachamim, he should give her 16 meals. Even though she doesn't need 4 meals on Shabbos, she needs 3 meals on Shabbos, so it should be 15. But Dal Chada La Archi Uparchi, remember we had the Archi and Parchi yesterday, for visitors. She might want to have visitors for 1 meal, so he has to give her a bit extra. So the Gemara says, oh, visitors, I forgot about that. Hasta the Asis La Hachi, now that you've come to that conclusion, Afilu Temer Reb Shimon. We can go back to Reb Shimon. What was your problem? According to Reb Shimon, she was getting 18 meals, and you said it was too much. No, there's a Rabbanan Dal plus La Archi Uparchi. So it's supposed to be 15 and she's getting 18? So she's got 3 meals for visitors. And Rav Chizka, Dal Tati L'Archa Pirchi, Rav Chizka wants to eat 4 meals on Shabbos, she'll have 2 meals for visitors. So it could be according to anybody. You just have to work out how much is for the visitors. Okay, phew, we got through that. Now we'll just finish off the daf. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Loi Pasak Sa'irin. Rabbi Yossi said the barley business came from Rabbi Yishmael because he's from Rome. And when he's in Rome, he does as the Romans. So the Gemara asked, "Ela be'edim huda achlin sa'irim? Only the Romans ate barley. B'chula amaloy achli." Yehuda puts it on his chalt. So what do you mean? Only in Rome they eat barley? They eat barley everywhere. So the Gemara says, "Hachik kamar." No, what he doesn't. He means the cheshbon. What did he say? That 2 calves of wheat or 4 calves of barley? That means if you're in Rome, you need twice as much barley to equal an out of wheat. When they said that the barley, if he gives a barley instead of wheat, he has to give double, that is only Elo Rabbi Shmuel. That's only according to Rabbi Shmuel. He was had Roman customs. Because the Roman barley was low quality, and therefore, in order to make a decent amount of bread or whatever from Roman barley, you needed double as much wheat. But if you had decent barley, you could get away with less. And he gives her half a kav of kidneys. So that's the. So we had this whole shopping list. But 1 minute, there's no wine in there. You're not giving her wine a whole week. Is Messiah the Rabbi Lazar? This must be a proof for Rabbi Lazar. The Amr Rabbi Lazar, Ein Peskin, turn the page or top of the page, Ein Peskin Yeinesh Leisha, that we don't give a woman wine. If he's keeping her in a separate house, don't give her wine. Because if she drinks wine, she's going to want to be with him even more, because that's what wine does to people. Yeah? So it's not fair to give her, what she drinks wine, and then she's going to be stuck in the other house. Yeah, in the back house. Vim Tomar. And if you want, I can prove it from a Pasuk. The Pasuk is, Elcha Achare Mahave, that she says, this is in where in Hosea, she says, she wants to go back to her husband. I want to go back to my, this is the woman who's returning. She says, I'm coming back to my husband, Noisni Lachmi, the one who gives my bread, the ones who give my bread, Umeimai and my water, Samari and my wool, and Pishti, my flax, my linen, Shamni, my oil, the Shikuyoi, and what is Shikuyoi? Things that I desire, Devarim Sha'isha Mishte Kekas Aleim, things that women desire, that's what Shikuyoi is, Umaninu Tashitin, what is that? Is the jewelry. But wine doesn't get a mention.
What sort of marriage was that?
What sort of marriage? I don't know. Okay, we'll leave it over here.